Hour number two of the Glass in the Morning radio program, the final Monday of September, September 26, 2016. There's my friend Margaret Fetty.
Good morning.
Happy.
Is it really getting that close to the end of the month?
It is.
Where did September go?
Boo.
Woof. It just flew.
There's people in my neighborhood that have their pumpkin decorations out and orange lights out. Watch, I don't mind, but it's hard to drive by when it's 85 degrees on a Sunday afternoon and there's the orange pumpkin lights.
Although we were in Lowe's yesterday
and
they had all the Halloween decorations and up on one of the shelves is this big dragon.
There you
go. I want the big dragon. The big blow up dragon.
nothing wrong with that. Get ready for Halloween. It'll be here before you know, but I'm with you. I don't like to floor it to get there. I just like to have a little fall weather, and we will have some today. Just a high of 71, but again, still in the 70s. That's fine. 59 with rain continuing. We're going to have a little break in it, and then there's a big hunk of green right behind it, so we're going to have to watch that. Hopefully it clears up after lunchtime today, but we're not going to get hot, so we're not going to have a hot and humid day, Margaret. And I can't tell you, it seems like that's been forever since we could say that. Tonight, clearing, a low of 48, our first venture into the 40s since May, I saw somewhere. Tuesday, tomorrow, 73 and sunshine, absolutely perfect. Tuesday night, 50, 65 on Wednesday, 67 on Thursday, and looking ahead to the weekend as we turn from September into October on Saturday. Friday, showers, 67. Morning shower Saturday, 69 and 72 on Sunday. I can live with that. 74 and 51 are your highs and lows. Warm days, cool nights, please, 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 please. And we're back into the 80s, the middle of next week. So, yeah, there you go. A little bit of something for everyone. But as we told you here last Monday, we thought we'd be in the 80s to start this week.
Yeah,
my, oh my, how the forecast changes.
That's what I thought.
In just a couple of days. So stay tuned. Keep your eyes with us at WGCLradio.com. On Monday mornings, well, every other Monday morning, we check in with the Bloomington Police Department and Captain Steve Kellums. And he is our guest this morning. Captain Kellums, happy Monday to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Glass.
Yeah, everybody awake. Everybody, here we go. Somebody ring the bell. Let's get this started. Number one, I can hardly believe that September is almost over. That's, as Margaret accurately pointed out, the season's changing and everybody just kind of going about their business as everybody's back with school and we've got normalcy with schedules and walks and runs and everything else. It is a festival season as well, and I would suggest that's probably keeping you guys quite busy down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely, we've got a lot of things going on this month. It's scary movie month, but we still haven't had an opportunity to do any of that. But we're doing a lot of getting out into the community and talking to people and having a lot of fun. Saturday, lost track of time. That's how fast the month went. Saturday, we were at the farmer's market with the Fiesta del Otoño and had a really great time out there, just meeting people and saying hi. And I had Officer Bazan out there with me, and it was a lot of fun.
It was, and you had nice warm weather for that, which is...
It was warm.
It didn't even... Yeah, Saturday morning didn't matter. It was 80 degrees at 10 o'clock or something?
Yeah, it was really warm.
Yeah, so the celebration of the Festival of Autumn, well, geez, we'd like to have some autumn weather there. The big news, making news from your department was a crack in the cases, plural, that we had talked about 2 weeks ago. Over Labor Day and Labor Day week and weekend, there was multiple residential entries. There was also a violent sexual assault. And when we last talked to you, the dots didn't seem to connect, but science and a little DNA has helped maybe relieve some anxiety here in the community. Tell us what we learned.
Well, we had, and it goes back to how proud I am of the officers and the detectives that we have on our department, how professional and how hardworking they are. And when that case first came out, when we were looking at the timelines between the attack on North Walnut and a break-in that occurred on the south side of town, it just couldn't match up. A person couldn't necessarily be at the same place at the same time. But as our investigators kept digging at this, at these crimes and kept working on it and doing more interviews and going back and talking to people, we were able to clean up that timeline quite a bit. And all of a sudden, the window opened up to where these things could have been connected, which is why we investigate cases. And sometimes why law enforcement cringes at putting out a lot of information early is because things change as you really start looking at all the facts. And that's exactly what happened in this instance. we were able to work really closely with the Indiana State Police Forensics Laboratory. Our evidence technicians drove evidence up immediately. You know, it was such a public safety issue, such a big issue for us. We put it at the top.
Yeah, can you do me a favor and explain to people how that works? Because we know everybody watches the cop shows and the crime shows, and they've got to they've got to solve the mystery in the last 40 minutes, or you know, people aren't going to tune in next week.
Right.
DNA just doesn't go into a microwave, and 30 seconds later, you get an answer. Correct.
It doesn't. It takes sometimes several days, depending upon the DNA and the DNA sample and things they have to do. And also, you have to look at, we don't do DNA, unlike television, where our police department doesn't have a laboratory. You know, we don't have scientists on staff. The Indiana State Police has the laboratory. And that means that all of the evidentiary samples in the entire state are going there. So you can imagine the backlog they have with all the crimes in the state of Indiana. So to get them to work with us, to bump this towards the front of their list was amazing. It was wonderful, and we really appreciated it on their end. And then, of course, we collected the sample, had to drive them up there, and they started working immediately on them, which is why it took several days for that to come out. But it's not uncommon for DNA samples, depending upon when they get it and where, to sit for months before they're actually completed and done.
Just because they're understaffed and underfunded. And
absolutely.
And that's part of it. So the public safety issue with this case moved it to the front of the line?
Not only the public safety issue, but also our relationships that we've built over the years with all these other agencies, and we work really well with them. You know, we're able to call in some favors, and we really, really appreciated them being able to do that for us. And that's what made the first break in Devin Grounds as being the suspect, and then we were able to connect that DNA again to some of those break-ins down south, and through interviews and that were done by the detectives, we're able to piece all those things together. And we're still working on those cases. We haven't charged him with all of them. He is our prime suspect in those, but we're still working to see if he is going to be connected to those other ones and how that's all going to work out. So our detectives are still working on the case.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning, but from a public interest perspective, without connecting all of the dots, are there other suspects in the radar? I know you can't talk about specifics, but or does it seem like this is people still need to lock their doors, people still need to lock their windows,
right?
People still need to be vigilant. I get all that, but is the general alarm bells kind of quelled?
Well, we feel pretty confident that he's our prime suspect, but we can't prove for a fact that he did all of them, and that does not mean that there's not someone else out there, so we're going to keep all that in mind as we continue to work on the case.
And I think that's the smartest way
to go. Can I ask a question? Am I reading this correctly, that he was originally arrested back in 88 for doing something like this?
He does have an extensive criminal history. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not sure exactly.
Okay,
but he does
it's
have
on your Facebook page,
path.
And I'm just looking at this going, wow, this person.
I don't think he's that old, Margaret.
Well, that's what I thought,
maybe
too.
Maybe it's just a typo, but
yeah,
I think
what I was
he's in his mid to late 20s. Is that correct?
I thought he was in his late 20s.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1988 would have been, that would have been.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Unless this was in high school
could
or
be
something.
No, because that's 30 years ago almost.
Excuse me, you're correct. So there's a typo
a
on
typo,
your Facebook
so don't worry
page.
About that.
So you might catch that. So I was really confused.
That.
Okay,
yes, but
so
no.
there was a reason for my confusion. Okay, all right.
There you go.
So.
But no, his criminal history, at least what was released to the Herald Times, is very long and winded.
And
on
he sounds like he needs to go away for a very, very long time.
Go ahead, Mark.
We also have another event coming up here on October the 5th at the Banneker Center. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, we're really looking forward to that. We've been working on that for a while, having some discussions with them, trying to figure out what we can do. And I don't have a lot of details about what we're going to do just yet, because we're going to plan that this week. We've got the date set. Our Deputy Chief Joe Qualtrs he's labeled it Banneker Blue and You, and we're going to push that out and hopefully get a lot of people to come out and, again, say hi and talk to us. But, we're going to discuss having some of our a little more extensive event probably than our typical Coffee with the Cops, where we just kind of have people in an informal setting discuss things and talk with people. I think we're going to try to bring out some of our special units and have some of a little more officers available, just so that people can see a lot of the things we do. In the past, we've done open houses before. And I think we're trying to do somewhat of a mini open house there. But the details will be planned this week, and we'll figure out exactly how we're going to approach that.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He's with the Bloomington Police Department. Obviously, with budget hearings and everything else going on at the city and county level, are you happy with what is on your sheet? I know you'd always like more officers. We talk about that all the time. Plus, you had a last time we spoke to you as well, folks were getting in for the final training session. Let us know how all on those fronts of what's happening.
You know, well, we've, budgets are something that's ongoing issues and ongoing problems. And, you know, we're happy with what we were able to get. We wish we could have more, but I know that we're not any different than every other city agency or department out there. So we're continuing to work within those boundaries and make sure that we can get the best that we can for that. We did have a hiring process, and so we're now in the process of adding, or not adding officers, but replacing officers that we're still trying to fill some of those positions on. And that's going on probably for the rest of the year now as that process will continue. But again, another ongoing process. We'll have another one in the spring because it's just really hard to recruit. It's really hard to maintain and keep those officers' levels up. And we'd like to have more. So hopefully sometime in the future, we'll have opportunities to actually add to the department and add staff there, which is needed.
So we're hearing an awful lot, unfortunately, in the national press about issues with police officers and shootings. Mm-hmm. And just in general, some very negative things. And when we talk to you, I get the impression that the culture in your department is maybe not like some of these other police departments. Am I incorrect in that? I really get a feeling you folks are trying to be more a part of the community and feeling like there is working together and not to have these kind of issues happen.
You know, I think that's fair to a certain extent. Some of the agencies that are running into some problems and issues have over the years separated themselves from their communities for a variety of reasons. Some of them justified and some of them not justified. And that's really been a push for us, not only this year, but it's been for several years, is to be more involved in the community. You know, some of the reasons for me coming on the radio grew out of that desire for us to be more involved in the community, to have more of a voice in the community, and people recognize that who we are, that we're the people that go to the grocery stores, our kids are in your schools, you know, we're out there every day trying to make the place a better, safer community for everyone, and we live in the communities. Some of these agencies, that doesn't happen. Now, that's not fair with all of them. Like, Dallas is a very proactive police department that works very hard with their community. So the events that happened there were obviously tragic on a lot of different levels. But some of these agencies have had some serious breakdowns in communication with their community. And, again, that's why we're doing the Coffee with a Cop every month. That's why we're out at the Fiesta Del Antonio. That's why we're at Pride Summerfest. That's why we're going to the Banneker Center. That's why we're going to do National Coffee with a Cop Day coming up. That's why my plate's always full, is to get out to the community and talk to people and let them know how we feel, but also to find out how they feel. You know, one of the questions we asked this weekend is, what can we do better for you? And we ask that a lot. So, you know, just trying to communicate and trying to be out there with the people and let them know us and get to know them.
So the Coffee with the Cop events, can you mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about that? And I saw you actually had a request for more locations.
Yeah, businesses
for that,
want to get involved. So. Tell us how we can do that.
Yeah, we try to do one about once a month. And the idea is to just invite people to come out in a very informal setting and talk to officers. The chief comes out to all of those, the deputy chief, the administration level, as well as regular officers and some of our resource officers. And they show up and sit down and drink coffee and talk to people and talk to them about problems and issues. We've been doing that at a variety of places. The one coming up for National Coffee with a Cop Day is going to be at the library, and some information will come out about that. But what we're looking for next year is to continue this and try to get into different locations so we're not constantly going back to the same place. We try to spread it around across town, get into the different neighborhoods, some different times so that some people can come out in the evenings that can't come in the mornings.
So if a business
and other people, yeah.
So if a business,
so anybody's available.
So if a business wanted to participate in this, and they don't actually have to be a coffee shop, right?
No,
correct. No.
So
no,
I just
don't.
Wanted to clarify that. So
They better have coffee, though, Margaret.
Right,
that's
right.
False advertising.
Well, yeah, I get that, but they don't have to be a coffee shop. So if someone wants to participate in this, how would we do that?
Well, the best way is to get in contact with Sergeant Pam Gladish, and the information's on the Facebook page about getting in contact with her. Or you can call the Bloomington Police Department at 339-4477 and ask for Sergeant Pam Gladish. She's responsible for organizing and getting those events organized. And she'll start working with the business to figure out when works for them and works for us, and we'll try to put something together. And again, it's just an opportunity for us to come out and hang out and talk to people. And so it's pretty informal. It doesn't require a whole lot of prep from any of the businesses. We do ask that there's some coffee there. And sometimes if the business can't provide coffee, we'll figure out ways that we can provide coffee. Sometimes we've done multiple groups have gotten together, and we've had coffee donated from one location, the space donated from another, and then we just all get together.
You needed the official coffee of the Coffee with the Cop. You need one of those local barista roaster type places to sign up. And
the way you think.
That's right.
We can make that work. Yeah.
I would. The quote of the week this week, my favorite one from a article in the Herald Times: "We gave him every chance to leave." That was my quote. The quote of the week with the dog story for the IU football player. So we'll end on a kind of a funny note. We try to make it light, make it informative as well. And we, as always, we appreciate your time on a Monday morning. Tell us how we can find you on Facebook. The three easy words are?
Bloomington Police Department.
Boom.
On Facebook. That's where you find us.
Just make sure you're not the one in Minnesota. That's all we ask.
Not Minnesota and not Illinois.
That's right.
Look for that Bloomington,
If they're hockey pictures, you know you got the wrong one. That's how I learned the hard way. All right. Great job as always, my friend. And next time we talk to you, believe it or not, it's going to be October. And Halloween safety will be on our radar as well, because we know that's a very busy time, and we'll see what else is making news.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks for coming on.